I'm watching the counter.
How do you know my ass hurts?
Oh, that's good.
Not for any fun reason. Just my chair is uncomfortable. Is kind of uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I know how that is.
Yeah. The piston in my chair broke. So it stays up for a little while. And then
I thought you were going to say this pissed in chair.
No, no. No, bad. No, this, the piston broke. And so it'll stay up for like 30 seconds and then it'll slowly like just drop down. And then once it reaches like 20% threshold, it'll just drop immediately. So it catches me off guard, which is always kind of funny. But it's like,
why don't you get a new chair?
Because it's an expensive chair. It's like a $600 chair or something like that. It's something that would be worth fixing. But here's the thing.
Well, fix it.
Well, so here's the thing. We thought we bought a lifetime warranty on it, right? It turns out it may have only been a 3-year warranty, which would mean that it's out of warranty now. Because it was 2020, I think, is when we got it. And,
Shit.
So, yeah, my mom came to visit yesterday and was bringing coffee, and she's like, you know what? I might have a piston. They bought a similar chair. She's like, well, I might have a piston. We're gonna DIY this thing. I'm like, all right, whatever. So
okay. It's in the works. Enough.
It's in the works. Right. Until then, I just get to enjoy a semi-painful ass.
Yeah. Enjoy, you say. Yeah, just mute your mic there. So big awkward silence for me. Hey, that's just more editing work for you, unless you just want to, you know.
I might just leave it in. It was worth it. It was worth it.
Of course you would.
I had to. I was just readjusting my chair slide. Anyway. Anyway. So. Today's episode is gonna be
it's the drill with Sam and Rutz, and today's episode is gonna be kind of go ahead.
You didn't do that already?
I don't think I did, no.
Okay. Well, so today we're both food people, right?
We are. Yeah. In different ways,
I'm a cheese slut. I would say you're more of a fast food whore.
Yeah, I think you're
putting in there.
But like almost everything I eat needs to have cheese in it. Almost. Not everything. Okay.
That's fair. I will say, this won't have any effect on this episode, obviously, but I've distanced myself from cheese a little bit recently.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were telling me about this.
Because I'm not religious at all, right? But I enjoy the challenge of giving something up for Lent. Yeah. In the last couple of years, it's almost always been cheese. Because, you know. I love cheese, but I'm like, all right, well, this is, you know, it's something I could probably, you know, limit a little bit more. And I did start it a little bit early this year, so I broke before, you know, in terms of recording, I think we're right about at time it would break anyway. But I broke it a few days early just to, you know, kind of balance out the scales. And sure. I swear, I got myself a delicious gourmet cheese to celebrate.
Ooh,
almost
nice.
Completely hated it, which is a shame.
That is a shame.
It was a Wesleyan English cheese that had bits of apricot in it, and then and then it had white like hints of white chocolate cocoa and amaretto infused into the cheese.
I would almost say that may have too much going on at that point.
So that was the thing. I genuinely think the white chocolate and the amaretto worked well. The amaretto and the apricot worked well. The apricot and the white chocolate didn't.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I feel like at least get rid of the chocolate is what because I love white chocolate, but I don't feel like that. Like, that's too much sweet. I like the idea of the apricot because I think fruit and cheese go well together very well. Although fruit and chocolate, or not fruit, well, that too. Cheese and chocolate actually go together really well. In fact, I have a question for you. There was apparently my friends and I, like, I don't know, probably around October, they had read online, they found like some cheese and candy pairings. So like they created like this little mini cheese board of like three different cheeses with like slices and three different candy bars. One was a Kit Kat, one was a Butterfinger, and one was a Twix, I believe, all chopped
that
up.
Sounds like, that sounds and so fun, we were actually.
It was actually, yeah. So they had some cheese pairing recommendations. So I would take a piece of cheese and put it on the candy bar and eat it. And it was very good.
It was surprising how well they went together. And you know, I love like experimenting with food. Like I'll try any kind of combination. I don't care how weird it sounds. But that is something that I wouldn't expect would be recommended. Yeah, go ahead.
Here's my question then. What is your favorite kind of cheese? Give me a top three. Because as cheese sluts, you know, it'd be hard. So top three.
That is tough because like I feel like my top three cheeses are not cheeses I eat too often.
Okay.
And there's not a lot of opportunities for them. But I say Gruyere is probably up there.
Quality.
I think I'd have to throw Munster up in there.
Okay. Yeah. Based. I like it.
maybe Brie.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I
can or Gouda. Like Gouda is I don't know though. Gouda, Brie, or Gouda. Maybe Gouda. I love Brie, but also I feel like Brie is too specific. Like it's a soft cheese and it's very like it's like Gouda I think works on more things.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's valid.
I think those are my top three.
Okay.
I imagine your top three would be a lot more fancy than mine.
No, it's not actually. Really isn't. I love don't get me wrong. I love a good fancy cheese, right?
Yeah.
But like my go-to, just give me an extra sharp cheddar cheese. If it's aged, perfect. But extra sharp, it has to be extra sharp.
And cheddar is super solid. You can't go wrong with cheddar. Mm-hmm. I love adding cheddar to pizza. Like it's not a good. Yep. It's not good as the only cheese because of the way it melts, but it is great as like a an additional topping.
Mm-hmm. And then second, I'm gonna have to split it like you did. Pepper Jack and Havarti.
Oh, those two are good.
Equally tight. And solid third is blue. I love blue cheese.
Blue cheese is good.
I put blue cheese on my pizza. Like what you do with cheddar, I do it with blue.
No, I've had blue cheese on pizza before. It's solid. It depends on the blue cheese too. Like I love a blue cheese dressing. That's always like my preferable dip is a blue cheese dressing. I'll take that over ranch any day. Although I like both. Blue cheese crumbles are good, but sometimes they can be a little strong and not a bad thing, but it's just like it's a little too like bitter tart sometimes. Well, yeah, of course you do. No, sometimes it's a little bit too bitter tart where it's like it's not a cheese like that I it's not like a go-to cheese, but I like it well enough. I definitely enjoy blue cheese.
Good, because most people don't like blue cheese, so I'm thrilled.
No, I do like blue cheese. Thank you. There's so many great cheeses. Like I feel like you're much more cheese experienced than I am, because like you're probably trying like most of the time the cheeses I'm eating are like mozzarella, cheddar, you know, maybe Monterey Jack, you know, something like that.
I mean, I will say, jokingly, but also kind of serious, I was tempted to go to Costco and buy a cheese wheel. They have a Parmesan Asiago cheese wheel for $900.
Okay. Wow.
It was like...
Yeah, that can be expensive.
I think it was like 37 kilos. Yeah, like just under 100 pounds of cheese.
Jesus.
I was tempted.
And even American cheese. I know like, you know, that's got a certain, reputation. But I think American cheese is great. It's honestly, I wasn't thinking about it, but American cheese would be up there. I hate to say it, but like that is you know,
it's good for not being cheese.
Well, yeah, whatever. I don't care.
It's a dairy product. It's not cheese.
It doesn't have
enough stuff to be classified as it.
Whatever.
Okay. All right. So the meat of this episode, I just thought we could go over some food debates that exist on the internet.
Oh, and, joy.
We could argue. So, let's start. We can start with something easy, right?
Of course, it's gonna be the pineapple on pizza thing, isn't it?
Okay, I wasn't gonna start there, but we can start there. Sure.
Oh, okay.
Pineapple on pizza, yay or nay?
We're going back to 2016 with this one.
Yep.
Yay. I mean, pineapple on pizza. I you know Like, if you don't like pineapple on pizza, grow up. It's great. It's you know, it's great, like, you know, sweet and salty, you know, flavor profile. I will say that I don't, it's not a regular pizza that I get. I like a Hawaiian pizza as sort of an accent pizza. Like, if I'm getting two pizzas, I think it's a great, like, second pizza to get to sort of, you know, go with another pizza. And I love Hawaiian pizza. It's just there are other pizzas I tend to get more often than that. But yeah, big fan.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, 100%. I also just highly recommend fruit on pizza in general.
Yeah.
Like, I'm lucky enough, I have some pizza fusion restaurants in town. So I get to try a lot of, like, weirder, more, you know, not necessarily more obscure, but more experimental types of pizza. Mm-hmm. Like, I almost prefer pizza with hummus as the base instead of marinara or pesto or anything like that.
I do like alternate pizza bases because I don't love tomato sauce. I do like a regular pizza with regular sauce, but, like, I don't like too much sauce. I love, like, a pizza with a Bianca pizza or, like, you know, pesto can be good. Even, like, a barbecue base can be good. I actually really think
some can be really good.
Like, I actually, and my dad and I talked about this one time. Like, my dad was a big believer that a Hawaiian pizza should not have any pizza sauce at all. No sauce. Which I think that red sauce on a Hawaiian pizza, I think it is kind of weird. I mean, I'm fine with it. A lot of, most Hawaiian pizzas just have a red sauce, and I'm okay with that. But I think, like, what makes more sense is maybe, like, a barbecue sauce or... Even, like, a ricotta cheese is really good with, like, that makes such a good Hawaiian pizza.
Well, so, like, my go-to pizza, right? Luckily, I have a, and it's going to sound gross, but I do highly recommend it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, again, it's because of these pizza fusion places that I have, right?
Right.
I was able to try this at a Swedish restaurant, you know, a couple hours away from me. But it's a Swedish banana curry pizza.
Okay. Yeah, I had a feeling you were going there. It doesn't highly sound gross. It doesn't sound gross. I like bananas fine, but I don't really like bananas flavored things or bananas on things. But I would be willing to try it because I don't, it's not like it's gross or I hate it or anything. It's just, I would definitely try it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something highly I recommend. Okay. So, cereal. When do you pour your? Do you go milk cereal or cereal than milk? How do you? When you have cereal, if you have cereal.
So I haven't. I used to eat cereal. I really almost never eat cereal. I don't really do.
I don't
breakfast.
Really either. But
usually,
breakfast is coffee or cocaine.
Yeah, or both. Yeah, I don't know. For me, like. I don't really love eating in the morning. I will sometimes, like, if I get hungry, I will. But, like, I don't eat breakfast foods in the morning. It doesn't mean I don't dislike breakfast foods. I do like breakfast foods. It's not my favorite, but I do enjoy sometimes, you know, like, sometimes I'll be in the mood for I want to do breakfast foods. And it doesn't have to be in breakfast time. So, you know, breakfast foods for dinner. Cereal, I ate way more when I was a kid. And I was still eating... I was still eating cereal fairly consistently, you know, somewhat more consistently anyway, up until like 2014 or so.
Okay.
Up to this point, I didn't even know there was a way to, I didn't know there was a way to do cereal other than pouring the cereal in first and then the milk. I just didn't know that existed. So I would always do cereal first and then milk. Actually, what I used to like to do, the way I would have cereal is, because I eat really boring cereals for the most part, but I would add maple syrup to them. So I was really, great.
That's a good option.
And then I've only had milk once in my life. As much as I love cheese, I was lactose intolerant growing up. And so I acquired a taste for cheese, but I never really acquired that same taste for milk because I had a rice milk that was so good that I didn't even care. And the one time I tried milk, I thought it was gross. So I love milkshakes though. But yeah, so I would always do rice milk and I would do
you know, maple syrup. And I would usually have like Special K or grape nuts. And when it was Special K, like first I would have a couple pieces of cereal dry and then like a couple pieces just with maple syrup. And then I'd pour the milk on and then eat that. Now that I'm aware of this whole debate, like milk first or cereal first, I think that milk first makes more sense to me.
How come? Elaborate. Expound.
Actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, I don't know why that makes more sense to me. It just, I feel like I don't like when cereal gets soggy. I really don't. So for some reason, I feel like if you're pouring the cereal in first, maybe it wouldn't get soggy as quick. But I don't know if that even makes any sense.
Okay. So I'm a monster, according to the people I've talked to about this. So yeah. Because I don't drink
milk. You just pour the cereal in your mouth and pour the milk in your mouth.
No. So because so apparently as a kid, right? Like, oh, as a wee lad, I drank milk a lot. Yes. Right. Yeah. I do have this weird distinct memory of going to get milk out of the fridge one day, and me being a monster, I was like, oh, there's only a little bit left, so I'll just drink it out of the carton and finish it. And it was like black and disgusting. And so that killed whole milk in general for me. Yeah. According to my mom, who was, you know, I visually remember being in the scene at the time, right? This never happened, but it's a core memory for me. So I'm assuming she's just gaslighting me.
Probably.
And so, like, unless it's like a milkshake, right? Which now I'm so used to, you know, alternative milks that I will notice it. But I've always been like an almond milk guy when I want milk, right? Okay, I've been getting on the oat milk train, train a little bit.
Have you ever tried rice milk?
I have. I did like a alternative milk tasting thing a few years ago.
Did you ever try Rice Dream?
Yeah, Rice Dream was the one we tried.
Okay, what'd you think? Yeah, I think it's yeah, I still like if I was gonna get milk, that would be my milk of choice. Yeah. Almond milk is like, good.
Yeah, if I can go to a cafe or something and they have rice milk, I will get it. But not even out here, not a lot of them have them. You know, it's normally like almond, oat, and then like maybe pistachio.
Sure.
Or something along those lines. But like, is rice normally is not offered. So, camel milk, though. Recommend trying it.
Interesting.
But no, so I'm a monster because I put water on my cereal.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. And I've done it since as long as I can remember. Because I don't mind things being, like, a little soggy. Because it's not like I take a bowl, right? Ugh. And just fill it with water and then put cereal in. It's not like that. I put a bowl of cereal dry, right? And then put like maybe a third of a cup, a quarter of a cup of water, right? Like
what
a
is little wrong bit of a splash.
Oh. Just so it's enough. Just so then enough, it's a little soggier, right? So it's easier to eat and I'm not eating dry cereal. That's all.
I think I want to end the podcast now. I think this is it. This is the final episode. If you want to join the Discord, it's too late. You can't anymore. We're closing it. We're closing up shop.
Even till now, like I had a hankering like a couple months ago for some Apple Jacks for some weird reason.
Oh, I don't want to hear about your sick cereal fantasies.
I bought some, and that's exactly what I did.
Oh my God! Now I know how you feel when I talk about Star Trek.
Yup.
Oh, I hate you so much right now.
I will but say so, now I do have almond milk in the fridge, so I would put almond milk in it.
Yeah, why not eat cereal with almond milk or like oat milk or something?
Because I don't normally keep milk at home. I don't.
Okay.
Just recently I bought a bottle of a half gallon of almond milk from Target because the price of coffee creamer has gotten so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That it was cheaper to buy almond milk than it was to buy coffee creamer.
Well, there you go. So start a new habit. Try cereal and milk like a regular person.
Now I don't want cereal. That's the thing.
I don't want cereal often enough to
warrant it.
Well, next time you want cereal, get some milk and do it the right way. What a disgusting habit.
No. Oh,
God. Deleting you from my phone right now. Unfriending you on Facebook. Yeah, that is a red flag.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Let's do so. Let's step away from the edge a little bit.
Oh yeah, I can feel us losing subscribers as we speak.
Ketchup. Do you pour it on your fries or do you dip it?
No.
Okay, well then let's take ketchup out of the equation.
Okay, mayonnaise.
Let's just say a dip.
I dip. Okay. I don't like pouring over because I like to have a separation. I like to have
agreed.
Yeah, I don't understand people like, you know, because I always have way more sauce than I need, and I get it because I see some people just drench their stuff in sauce. And it's like, well, don't you want to also taste the flavor as it's supposed to be, like it's in its pure form?
Nope.
That's what I like. I like to have a little bit of the standard flavor because it's good on its own. And then I like to have a little bit of dip as like a little, just something different. I don't think I ever like the dip more. I usually like, you know, I don't ever need the dip. It's just something to add some variety. And the dip is good. But that's just, you know,
so it's more variety. I will say the only place that I do drizzle is In-N-Out because it comes in a basket, right? So it's almost like it's designed and made for the drizzle. You know what I mean?
So you like drizzling it in and out.
Only on select occasions.
you like it animal style, don't you?
You could say that.
So by the way, I hate to revisit this, but just for this whole cereal thing, without going into detail what you're pouring on it, it's cereal first and then pour for you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 100%.
I'm not even 100%. Sure. Now that I think about it, I don't even know what the debate is about. Like, is there an advantage to one or the other?
No. I think there's supposed to be like soakage time or something like that.
Yeah, like, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I've seen people like test the theory and everyone's like, yeah, there's no real difference.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'd probably be the same. I'd probably be cereal first, then milk. I'd probably stick to what I know.
Okay.
It's more traditional. It's more classic. Anyway, all right, so next one.
All right. Bacon. Should it be thin and floppy or nice and crispy?
I like it to have a little chew and there's nothing wrong with crispy. I like kind of a little bit of chewy crispy. So I like it. I don't want it to be too floppy, but I do like that to be a little bit of a bend, a little bit of pliability, you know, like not so crispy. I don't like when it's blackened. That's no good. But like, you know, a nice chewy, you know, texture with a little bit of a crisp.
Okay, so I don't mind that if it's an alternate bacon, right? Like a turkey bacon or a chicken bacon, something like that.
Okay.
If I'm going authentic bacon, burn that shit. I am so down. I don't care if it's blackened. I don't like
I get the most flavor of it.
But the reason, I think most of the reason is because I think the closer you get to burnt, the more of the actual wood that is smoked with the bacon you get out of it.
Oh, so
the
apple wood, the
cherry wood, whatever. Mm. So the closer you get to burnt, that's what you get.
I feel like the more something is burnt, the less you can taste of it. You just taste that burnt flavor.
But that burnt flavor, part of that is the wood that it was burnt in, you know, that was smoked in, and I'm okay with that. Unless it's hickory. Hickory bacon, you know, balance out the crispiness. Like, get closer to what Sam wants. But because the hickory wood, I don't think tastes that good as it being burnt. But, like, if you get to, like, the apple woods, the cherry woods, the pecan woods, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know. Burn that shit.
I really like thick cut bacon, so I like to be able to chew into
thick
something.
Cut, center cut. Let's do it.
What about bacon bits though? Do you still like them burnt with their bacon bits?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Burn those bits.
See, I think even more so with bacon bits, you want it to be a little chewy. I don't know. That's obviously not too chewy. You don't want it to just keep chewing, but you know, a nice little chew. I like a good chew.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let's see if we see something. Let's see if we actually see something eye to eye.
Wait, we have mostly so far, just not on bacon.
Bacon in cereal.
Well, we're on the same page in terms of pour order. It's just you're a monster. you're the worst human being on the planet, and that says something.
You know what? I'll take it. Okay. chili. Beans or no beans?
This one's kind of tough because I'm not a huge fan of chili in general.
Okay.
And I don't really like beans, but I almost feel like yes, beans for chili. I don't know. I honestly don't think I can. Because now I think about it, like the chili that I have liked doesn't have beans, but I don't think the beans bother me. This is getting really. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I like beans. I like beans in general. I like beans with my chili. I also do like meat with chili. Don't get me wrong. I know people are. This is like divisive for people like in Texas and in the Midwest. If I'm not making my chili from scratch and I'm just going to the store to buy a canned chili or something, I will buy it with beans. I have no problem doing that.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Honestly, yeah, I don't know if I can really answer this one fully because okay. I'm not a huge fan of beans or I'm not a huge fan of chili in general, but I can eat chili. I've had chili and I thought it was good. So I don't know. Either or is fine. I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other.
I've recently gotten into, I would say in the last year, recognizing good fast food chili. I actually think it was because of you, actually, one night. And ironically, in town, the best fast food I can get is Wendy's. Wendy's chili is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've... So I've heard.
Okay, moving on. French fries and milkshakes. Do you dip it or do you leave it alone?
Okay, so I dip, but there's a big caveat here. So I'd never done that. I'd never tried it until like probably 2021 because it was something I never even knew was a thing for a long time. And then like, I don't know, I heard about it maybe 5 years before that or I don't know, like in recent, like from the internet, I learned that, oh, people dip their fries in like Frosties or milkshakes or whatever. That's a thing. And I was like, that's interesting. I think I would like that, but I've never tried it. And then finally, one day I'd gotten some Wendy's. I'm like, let me try that. So every time I get Wendy's, I dip my fries in my Frosty. It's great. It's a great combination. I only do it with Wendy's, though. And it's not that I'm opposed to it elsewhere. It's just like I'm in that. When I get Wendy's, that is very specifically like, oh, this is a thing that I do. Whereas when I get a milkshake and fries at other places, it's just not on my mind. I would definitely try it. I just never think of it when I do it. And in fact, now that I've had this conversation, I may give that a shot next time. Because there's a fast food place, a local fast food. Well, not really a local, but like a regional fast food place by me that has fries and milkshakes. And I may try that next time. Although another thing too, another reason why I may just only do Wendy's is because it's one of the few places where I get a plain, like, you know, a plain milkshake. It's not really a milkshake, it's a Frosty, whatever. But like most of the time when I get a milkshake, it's some kind of, you know, like a cheesecake milkshake. Yeah, something going on. So it's almost like, not that I'd be opposed, but I almost feel like there's so much going on that I don't know if it makes sense, but I want to try it. I want to try it elsewhere now. So I may do that. Anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I am 100% on board with a sweet yet salty treat, right? When it comes to like my dessert things.
Oh, yeah,
however,
absolutely.
However, I've never done this.
Oh, you got to try it.
It's just not something that like appeals to me.
So you don't want to try it.
Well, I'd be willing to try it, but also like I don't go to Wendy's often, and if I go to Wendy's, I get chili. And like the only place I go to that I can think of where I'd get a milkshake and fries is like our local Mel's Diner, right? For US Coast people, you know, American Graffiti. Yeah.
Awesome.
And I don't get a vanilla.
Is that like a franchise? Is that local or is it one location?
No, it is a franchise. However,
the original one
is in the same place where my dad lives. It's like 4 to 5 minutes away.
And that's where they shot American Graffiti?
Uh-huh.
Wow, how long has that been open?
Oh, very long time. It is one of the like capstones for that particular city. They have a monument. It's actually really funny. they have a monument, and it's like, you know, city of Petaluma, right? The home of American Graffiti and the arm wrestling capital of the world.
Is that where Sylvester Stallone went to go over the top?
You know what? It very might well. It very might well be.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've never done the fry thing. I've never done it. I do think what would be worth going for, because my go-to, if I go get milkshake and fries, right? I get a banana milkshake and I get curly fries.
And
I'd be down to do it with that. Maybe
outside. Yeah, that's right. I don't know. Do you like?
We haven't gone to Mel's in a long time because they, after COVID, they stopped being 24 hours. And so,
A lot of places still haven't.
Yeah,
right. We would, ironically, we as white bitches in our 20s, we'd go over. Yeah. We'd meet up at 9 o'clock at the Applebee's. You know, get half price apps and like $5 bowl, you know, giant buckets of alcohol. And then we'd walk across the street to Mel's after midnight or midnight or 2 a.m. and just, you know, get steak and egg, you know, meals for $5.99 or whatever. And
man, sit there until
the time comes up. So
that sounds great. Have you ever had like a salted caramel milkshake or like a milkshake with pretzels in it?
I love salted caramel as a dessert flavor. So yes.
And you had pretzels in a milkshake or a dessert?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I think you'd like fries in a milkshake thing, because it's kind of, you know, it's not too dissimilar from that.
Okay. All right. I'll do it.
But yeah. All right.
Let's see. Let's get one or two more.
Yeah.
That's boring. That's boring. Actually, that's more monstrous. But I bet we'd be on the same page.
Yeah.
Oreos. Eat them whole or split them?
I've always just eaten them whole. I mean, I'm not
a monster.
Well, listen, I mean, I'm not opposed to like,
You know what that gives me? That makes me believe that you would be the person who'd get Kit Kats and you'd just take a bite out of the Kit Kats instead of eating.
All right. No. Hey, that's slander there.
I'm slandering you.
That's something you gotta give me a break, okay?
Nope, I'm not giving you a break and a piece of my Kit Kat bar. It's not happening.
No, I love Kit Kats. You break them, you eat them. They're great. Oreos, I don't care. Like the splitting thing, I'm not like opposed to it. Like I could try it, but just I like the flavors together. I like the cookie and the cream, and you know, and I don't even dip them in milk. I just eat them dry. Do you dip them in water?
Okay, as a joke, I may have done it once. I don't recommend it. God. I'm just a splitter. I don't dip them either, but I'm a splitter. 100%.
Yeah. So you split, you lick the cream, and then you eat the cookies dry?
Of course. You gotta get it. You get your tongue in there first. You gotta lick all the cream out. And then...
Of course. I don't think I would enjoy the cream without the cookie, though. That's the thing. Like, the cookie I could enjoy by itself, but it's the cream and the cookie coming together that really seal the deal.
Okay. All right. You know what? All right. I'm fine. I'm willing to accept it. Having a
change of heart. Yeah.
I'm willing to accept it.
Yeah, you accept that.
Okay. This one doesn't make any sense, but I have like five of these articles up here, and it's on every single one of them. So I figure we got to talk about it. How do you slice your sandwich? Horizontally or diagonally?
I don't.
You're like, let me just eat it.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, you know, I remember too, like, I worked at Jimmy John's and, like, you know, we don't cut our sandwiches in half by default, but a lot of times people would ask them to cut it in half and I'd be like, you babies, just eat it. Like, it's not that big of a sandwich.
Here's the question. Is Jimmy John's, is their bread actually bread?
I think so. I don't know.
Okay, just because, so, interesting enough,
you're talking about that Subway thing? Yeah, we all know.
Subway has too much sugar and other things in it that their bread has been classified as cake instead of actually bread.
Which is weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Well,
no, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure
classify things as weird. I mean, come on, bees are, according to California, bees are fish. So
what?
Or it might be the other way around. Fish might be bees. I think it's bees are fish.
What? All right, whatever.
So just to put it in a little context, it's for endangerment purposes. It's so like,
okay, fair enough.
Yeah, but like, you know, I think it's bees are fish, so they get the same treatment for endangered fish species, so we don't overfarm them or something.
Oh, interesting. Times. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It was a whole thing like a couple years ago.
Yeah. So cutting a sandwich. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know though. I've heard
you're
that
just
like
raw dog and eat and hold. You're just like, give me the sandwich and give me all the meat at once.
I can kind of understand because, yeah, like the meat could slide all around in there and, it, you know, the meat could slip out if you're not mm-hmm. careful, you know, especially with all that oil. Yeah. But you're acting surprisingly tame. Like, you're just like, uh-huh. Yeah. Like, anyway.
I'm disagreeing with you.
No, but I mean, I could understand that. I never really had a problem with that. But yeah, I don't really cut sandwiches. I don't see the point. It's like, especially like a regular size sandwich, it's like, it feels like it's more trouble than it's worth. I'm just, you know,
so
I don't care.
In general, if I make myself a sandwich, I'm with you. I don't cut it. However, if I do something weird with my sandwich, right, it's something experimental.
You're always doing weird things to your sandwiches.
You're right. You're right. Hell, if I pursued it properly and knew it was a career at the time, I would have been a food scientist.
Oh, you would have pursued your sandwiches? And then done something weird with it.
I would have just pursued, you know, how people conceptually taste food. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. Like, fun fact right now, I'm trying to experiment and develop a line of syrups or like you know, non-alcoholic things that necessarily is used for alcohol but doesn't have alcohol in them, so I don't have to get all the extra licensing to sell them.
Oh yeah, so alcohol free stuff.
Not necessarily alcohol free stuff, but like I think technically they'd be shrubs, where they're like mixers for mixology and for cocktails that just don't have alcohol in them. And so like I started on it last week, and I'm taking all like snacks of a certain type of flavor, right, of a essence of a flavor, right, and trying a bunch of them. And then piecing together what, like, okay, what are the common key, you know, flavors I'm tasting to make this up? So, like, the first one I have that I'm writing and experimenting with is elote. And so I got, like, 10 or 12 different, like, elote flavored items. And so I'm testing those and doing all that.
The other week, a friend, like, last week, a friend had us over and made some sheet pan pizzas. One of them was an elote pizza. One of the best pizzas I think I've ever had. It was incredible.
Elote is fantastic. It's so
good. Oh, it was so good. It was so good. The only thing that could have maybe taken it a step up is to maybe throw a little chicken on there or something. But no, it was fantastic.
But then you're getting close to like chicken adobo territory. Which might be
maybe. Something. Yeah, yeah.
Beside the point, if I'm generally eating a sandwich, I eat it whole. If I'm doing something weird with it, I will cut it diagonally because then I get to see the cross section and see what it looks like.
I would say
research purposes.
I think if I had to cut, I'd agree. I think a cross cut is the more aesthetically pleasing. I think cutting like down is just, I don't know, like it looks like a child's lunch. And cutting across is like that's just insanity.
All right. Let's do one more.
That was a boring one to end on.
Yeah, believe me, I wasn't going to end on it. But this one, I actually am intrigued by your answer. Maybe. Brownies. Are you a center guy or are you a corner person?
Honestly,
do you like it
gooey
or do you like it rough?
I think I could go both ways on this one. If I had to choose, I'd probably choose an edge piece because I like doing both though. I like to have, because I like the softness and the chewiness of the center or like even the end of the corner piece, but I love that crispy edge piece as well. So like even a corner piece, you know, I would probably like if So if I could do both, I'd probably take a centerpiece and a corner piece. If I could only choose one, I'd probably choose just an edge piece, not like a corner. So that way it's like I get the crispiness, but I'm not, you know, like I'm also getting a little more of that softness.
Right. Okay. So I'm with you, right? I would prefer an edge piece. Not for necessarily the same reason. I do like it, you know, nice and crunchy. but I like an edge piece because when I eat my brownies, right? If I'm choosing to eat brownies in the first place.
Yeah.
I don't like getting my hands all messy.
Oh, and yeah. So the edge pieces are
harder. So it's easier for me to, you know, hold on to it and not make a mess, right?
That's fair enough.
However, I make amazing vegan brownies. Okay. And
you make amazing what brownies?
You heard me, vegan brownies.
Oh, vegan. No, I didn't hear you. The audio kind of cut out.
Yeah. I make amazing vegan brownies.
And I will say I am
kind of catch both, you know, both the gooiness and edge pieces of this brownie because of how it's made.
I will say, as somebody who is a hopeless carnivore, and I don't generally like vegan food, but vegan baking is just as good as regular baking, in my experience. Vegan baking is like the peak of vegan, you know, food, just in general. And again, I have respect for, you know, vegan diets. It's just not something that I think I'm capable of doing. I tried being vegetarian once years ago. It didn't work for me.
So, because I'm with you, I veganized all my desserts. Not for any particular like health reason. I did realize that so if you haven't been following for a little while, I think I talked about it early on in the show. I had to be gluten free because I've got some blood stuff. And yeah. For a while they're like, "You're celiac." I'm not, but this led to me to having to be gluten free for like 2 or 3 years. I realized that it was easier to go and if I wanted something kind of dessert, right? It was easier to go to a vegan dessert than to just be a gluten-free dessert. It was much easier to do that way.
Interesting.
And so because of that, I started veganizing all my desserts. And then I realized also, you know, I can make things that are non-dairy, right? Because again, I don't like milk. So then I started doing non-dairy things. And then I don't like eggs. Right, I know how to cook eggs. That's the funny thing. I can cook eggs like 10 different ways. I don't like. I will cook eggs for someone else, but I will not eat eggs. And I don't like baking with eggs. Like I don't even like cracking them and putting them in mixtures and stuff. So I don't keep eggs in the house. And so I will convert. You know, that's another thing that led into, you know, me trying to create something when it comes to a dessert. Like I have an amazing recipe for a quick banana bread that has no dairy. No eggs, no nothing.
No dare
in it. And I expand on that thing like crazy. Like I now have it as it's a banana bread in form factor, right?
No dare with banana.
No dare with banana. And I have a little bit of like ground ginger I put in to, you know, kind of like spice it up a little bit. And then I had put in a mango ribbon of fresh mango into the actual bread.
Ooh,
I just took it over to my sister's earlier this week because it's something I'd been experimenting with, and I told her, I'm like, oh, I want to try this. She goes, I don't want to try your mess ups. So once you have the recipe on lock, send it to me. And I sent a loaf over to her. It was gone in the same day. So
mail one of those loaves over to me. But yeah. So here's a question for you now. Do you like brownies in general? Because I almost got it because you said when you eat them, I don't know, I got the sense that maybe they're not your favorite. Am I wrong about that?
Okay. So if we're talking like, let's compare brownies, cookies, that kind of stuff, right? Into that realm of desserts.
Yeah.
I'll take a brownie. Yes, I'll take a brownie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or a brookie. I'd be down with a brookie.
Brookie's great too. Now cookie's good as well, but definitely I would go brownie over cookie.
Yeah, if I'm going to bake a dessert, it'll be a brownie.
Yeah, although there are some like sometimes if it's a really good, I've had some cookies that surpass brownies.
Oh, I have too, but I mean like in general.
In general, yeah, definitely.
normally if I'm going for like a decadent dessert like that, right, I'll just buy a cheesecake.
Oh, cheesecake. Yeah. Cheesecake.
Cheesecake beats all those.
As much as I love brownies, I agree. Cheesecake is just on another realm. Like, I love brownies, but cheesecake, nothing beats a cheesecake.
Okay. Final question then. Cheesecake. Yeah. Is it better with fruit or just a New York style?
I'd say with fruit. And again, I love cheesecake. I'm fine with a
New York style fruit chocolate. Because I know that like that's like the standard if you buy like a sampler thing.
Probably going to go fruit. I mean, chocolate's good too. And again, plain cheesecake is great. Cheesecake is great on its own. It's just, I'm the kind of person where like, I don't usually go for like plain default things. Like I never get just like, you know, like a vanilla milkshake or like a strawberry milkshake. Like I'm always, you know, I'm always into like, what are the interesting options?
Okay. I agree with you. So if I'm buying a cheesecake at the store, I will go fruit. If I am making a cheesecake, I will make it as New York style. Reason being is that I tried to be ambitious many years ago, and I tried to make a 8-layer Andy's mint chocolate cheesecake.
So you lost me with mint.
And I traumatized myself. So
yeah,
it just took too long. No, it ended up being good. Don't get me wrong. Because I like mint. So, yeah.
Well, I like mint, but I don't like mint chocolate.
I only like mint chocolate if it's like Andy's mint chocolate or even like a peppermint York solid.
Okay. And you know, there's a chance that, you know, that may have evolved a little bit and now I can appreciate mint chocolate a little more. Cause I actually, although this wasn't really mint chocolate per se, but like, I remember when Wendy's came out with that peppermint frosting, I kind of liked that, but that was, you know, that's another thing too, is I don't think I would want like just a mint ice cream either.
I mean, I'd still be down. I'm almost as much of a mint whore as I am a cheese slut.
Wow. I do like mint, but I like mint like as an after dinner, sort of like a breath mint. I like those. I don't really like it so much as a flavor.
Yeah. But also, we know, right, because we've talked about it before, I'm very much a strong flavor person than a subtle one. And I know you prefer more subtle things.
Sometimes. Not always.
But I mean, like fresh ginger. Love fresh ginger.
Oh, I hate ginger.
Another example. See,
I will say, to go along with what you said, though, as an example, like, I found, when it comes to mac and cheese, for instance, like, I would think, knowing myself, I would think that I would prefer like a really strong flavored mac and cheese, like a really sharp cheese flavor. And I do enjoy that, but I think some of my preferred mac and cheeses tend to be like a more mild, you know, like a more creamy, sort of subtle flavor.
Well, so like I made mac and cheese last night for dinner, right? When you rudely called and interrupted me about it.
No, it was pretty rude, wasn't it?
But like it was, it was just standard mac and cheese. And then I have a Mongolian garlic sauce that I put with it.
Oh, that does sound really good.
It is amazing. It is just like, it's like, I think what's in there is it's got strong garlic notes. It's got some fish, you know, a little bit of fish sauce in it. But like, it's very much leaning closer to like a strong barbecue sauce almost. And it's just like,
You know what? If you ever come here, which I'm sure that'll never happen, but if you come here, I gotta make you my mac and cheese because I have a recipe that's actually pretty good. But you'll never try because you'll never come here. Tap tap.
Well, now I got intrigued. So I was trying to pull up the sauce on Twitter and see what was in it.
But anyway, yeah. While you're typing, I was just saying you'll never try because you'll never come here.
Oh, okay. So I got it. So it's soy sauce base.
He's just ignoring me.
I am. Soy sauce base, garlic, brown sugar, and ginger. That's what it is. That's the combo.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Well, maybe, fun fact, if y'all want to try a base model of it, Target carries it, and it's their Good & Gather home brand. Highly recommend their Good & Gather sauce line. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah. And if you want to try my mac and cheese, Ruts, come visit. But I know you won't, so.
I'm ignoring you now.
Ignore it, yeah. We've been doing this podcast for 4 years. We've been friends for, I don't know, way longer than that. And you still never, you've never made it over here. You keep saying you will. It'll never happen.
I will say, if and when I make it to the East Coast, it'll be that way. I'll get over there.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I've just never been that far. I've just never been that far, man. You're so far away.
You're just a scared. You're just a scared little boy, but it's okay. It's okay.
I'm frightened. East Coasters are mean.
I will protect you.
I don't feel protected.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's enough of that. We got to wrap this up. If you guys have any other food debates you want to let us know,
join the Discord
and let us know. I'd be down to do a part. I like that.
Before it's too late, the end is nigh, so you've got a rapidly closing window.
It amazes me.
It amazes me. We've been doing this podcast for 4 years. We have people who listen. Like, we have people who like the podcast, apparently. Maybe not a lot, but there are people. It's like, you know, for 4 years, the numbers have to be at least in the hundreds, right?
Yeah.
Maybe even more. I don't know. You would think that one person would have joined the Discord. One. In all that time. And we keep asking. We keep finding different ways.
Why
do you ignore our pleas? Why do you ignore us? Come.
While he's busy bleeding, I will
that's
say.
So, that's so a lot season of it one is, of me.
I know, right? Ugh, I thought you'd grown by now. I think we do skew to an older demographic. And so they might be, you know, Discord's a young person app. So who knows?
Fair enough. All right. So share clips on TikTok so we can get somebody in the Discord.
There you go.
I just want to see.
Still exists.
I guess that's true. Before this podcast ends, I just want to see one person join our Discord. I want proof that there's actually somebody listening to this, a single person who listens to this podcast.
I'm real tempted to make another account and just join.
Oh my god!
You ruined it.
Now, yeah, now if you join the Discord, I'm gonna think it's Ruts. So don't bother. Forget it. Forget I said anything.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, you have a recommendation? You want something to recommend? I don't.
Of course. I recommend that you buy a new chair. My recommendation is because I feel like it's gotta be
over here and doing squats.
You and your muscles. I don't know. I feel like I should make a food recommendation, right?
Go for it.
The Little Caesars Crazy Puffs are pretty good. Try those. Why not?
I like it. Good enough recommendation.
I'm going to get them today. I'll probably get them right after this podcast. Get the puffs and then the slices and sticks for $5. I got a coupon.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Good enough. All right. I hope you all enjoy this episode. I know. My ass hurts. I got to stand up. I got to get off the recording. So have a good week. We'll catch you next week.
All right. See you guys.
All right, see you guys.
Still recording, of course.